Wonderful job, ladies. Great song service. And that last song they sang, Little is Much if God is in it. We're going to be talking something about something little this morning, and what a great introduction to the message. You'll find the text in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We've been studying for a few weeks on the life of Elisha, the prophet of God. Last Sunday morning, we saw the prophet of God helping the children of God, the armies of Israel and Judah, as they took upon themselves a battle without consulting God. A lot of people do that, you know. They'll start something, sounded good, journey of 7 days, perfect number, God's perfect number. But the problem was they got somewhere and there was no water. They were perishing. What will you do if you're perishing? Somebody had better get to God. Hey, we live in a world where the world is perishing without God. He's coming. Those that don't know him are going to die and perish in the lake of fire, eternal hell. Somebody better get to God. But thank God it was the man of God there. We left off Sunday morning with an unusual request that he told him. It wasn't a request. It's if you want to survive and not perish, dig ditches. We saw the conclusion of that message Sunday night. They dug ditches. God miraculously sent water. They had water, which is type of water from the Word of God. He is the water of life. And then it confused the enemy, because when the sun, the literal sun, which represents God, the sun, shined upon the water, there was a reflection, and it was like red blood. Oh, you won't get anywhere with God without the shedding of blood. The enemy saw it and was completely confused. They thought all the nation was perished, that they were all dead, and they went to claim the victory, but they got defeated by the blood. Which brings us to chapter 4. We're going to look this morning at a mother's plea. A mother's plea, P-L-E-A. I didn't plan it this way, of course. It's Mother's Day. And I had no idea that this is where we'd be on Mother's Day. I don't plan messages anyway. God does. So let's look at the texts together in chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take away my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said to her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hath thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said to her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thy and thy children of the rest. A story that starts out so sad. But when God intervenes and people are obedient to the Word of God, look how wonderful it turned out. The example is to you and I today. Life is hard. Job said it's just short and full of trouble. James said it's like a vapor. Foggy morning this morning, but when the sun came out, quickly vanished away. We live in a world that's full of trouble, sorrows. You're not immune, I'm not immune. Troubles come. But thank God the scripture says, joy cometh in the morning. How long's the night? Well, trouble comes, and when you and I trust God and look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's something about joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord comes when things are hard, when things are easy. It doesn't matter. It goes beyond our circumstance. The joy of the Lord is the peace of God, passeth all understanding. So we see now, I want to look at six quick things from this text. And if I don't get finished with it this morning, we will continue tonight. But hopefully, by the grace of God, we'll be able to get through these short seven verses. I want to look at the plea of his mother, first of all. And I want to look at the past. I want to look at the past service that her and her household has. Now, she has problems like everybody else has problems, and these are real serious problems, but she's got a good past. The scripture says she is a wife of the sons of the prophets. So you can imagine that she knew the word of God. Her husband knew the word of God. They live by faith. And you ask a question, no doubt. Well, if they live by faith, how come she's a widow? She has two sons and nowhere to hang her hat, so to speak, and not a thing in the house, and the bondsmen are coming. That's her past. Oh, but don't look to the past. Look to the future. Our hope is in the future. There is a God in heaven that reigneth upon the throne. And no matter what the problems are, it is good for you and I to have a present, but we have to have a past. Somewhere in the past, we have had to come to grips with the fact that we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and there's one hope in this world, and that's that God would save us and secure us. Oh, the past can be an awful past, but for her it had been a good past. Oh, I didn't say she wasn't poor. Obviously she was. In those days, the prophets, remember, there were 7,000 that bowed not their head to Baal. Everybody else in the land was worshiping Baal during Elijah's day, and he thought he was the only one. But God says, no, I've got 7,000. They haven't bowed to me. Now, they lived an obscure life, and it was hard. They had families, no doubt, but sometimes bad things happen. We do not know how the husband had perished, but I do know this. She wasn't hanging her head and saying, woe is me. She lived a life as best she could. When we have difficulties in this life, what do? We look to God. Don't look at the past. She's not looking at the past. We're only told that she is a widow. Her husband's dead. We don't know how old she was. We don't know how old the boys were. It doesn't matter. We see the past, but there's something else. She sees a prophet, a servant of God. And she realizes that if I can get to God, the problems I have will be secured. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. So even though she had a past of service, there was a present situation that she was in. And notice the scripture says, not the creditors are coming. I didn't get something in the mail that says you got another 30 days. The creditor is here. Present tense. Let's look at that thought this morning. A mother that has two sons, and the creditor is here. What's he going to do? You have a debt to pay. Somehow you have secured a loan, or your husband has secured a loan, a sum of money, something is of value, and there is nothing to pay the debt. How will I pay the debt? Well, the law of the land was that if you don't have anything, they'll take your children. And they take those children and they'll be bondsmen for 7 years until the year of Jubilee. Then they'll be set free. But look what's going to happen in those 7 years. She's going to be without two sons. They're going to be bondsmen, slaves to somebody who will not rear them in the house of God, perhaps, who will not teach them the things of God. It's a serious situation, this present situation that she's in. Although she's got a past that's been service to God oriented, she has a present situation. And if a creditor that's already there takes those two sons, she won't see them again, no doubt, for 7 years. They may be grown. They may be dead. But look at it this morning, mothers. Your job is to rear your children in the house of God. There's a debt to be paid. And that debt that we owe is to a God that loves us. And we can't pay that debt. We're in sin. We came and we inherited a debt. The debt was a debt of sin. When you were born, you got this debt because of your forefather Adam. Eve is the mother of all living. And there's no way you could pay that debt. It was hopeless. And Satan stands at the door, ready to snatch your children into pits of hell. He will try everything. It's an urgent situation. I'm speaking to mothers this morning that no doubt some of your children have already gone astray. And if you don't rear them in the house of God and teach them the things of God, they're liable to go astray. It's your job, as this mother had done, to rear her children right. You say, well, things aren't looking pretty good for her. Oh, they're looking real good. She don't know, but she knows that she's going to get to the prophet. And there is a prophet of God, and there's a prophet on the scene. And the prophet of God will speak the word of God, and the God of the word will help. If we worship and serve the Lord our God according to the word of God, then God's word will help us in every situation we're in. A present situation, Satan is at the door of households trying to get in. He's already gotten in, and he's trying to snatch children and put them in shackles, get them to believe a lie. Get them to believe that there is no God. Get them to believe that a life of sin is acceptable in this modern society in which we live. It is not acceptable. God hates sin, and there's a debt that will be paid. And the woman realizes, I can't wait any longer. It's an urgent situation. It's a present situation. But there is a prophet on the scene. I am going to inquire of this prophet. He'll get me to God and he'll know what to do. She had that kind of faith. Elisha has been summoned, and Elisha knows the situation quite well. Now that Elijah is dead, he is kind of over all these prophets. He knows, he travels, he understands what they go through, and there's somebody that knows what you're going through. The pastor don't always know what you're going through. But there's a God in heaven that knows every burden of your soul. He not only knows what you're going through now, but he knows what you will be going through tomorrow. And he's given you instruction this morning. Get your children to God. Get some words of God that will comfort and that will replenish and that will restore that which the devil has tried to take away, is taken away, and wants to take away. But thank God there is a prophet on the scene. We'll look next of all at a pot of substance. The scripture said the inquiry had been made. If you owe a debt, what do you have to pay it with? You have a lot of furniture? No. Have a lot of food? Canned stuff? No. She'd already apparently sold all and given all she had and tried her best to pay the debt. Hey, there's a debt to be paid, and there's only one ingredient that can pay the debt, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. People look to everything, and they go to the last mile, and they try works. Won't get you anywhere. But there's one thing. There is a pot of substance. And it was just a small thing. Let's investigate this pot of substance, pot of oil. It's the only time that word in the Hebrew is used in the Word of God, pot. When you think of pot in English, you'd think, well, it's a big pot. No. If you trace it out, The root word of that word pot in Hebrew means anointing, anointing oil. So I know for surety what it was. Wasn't a large pot. And if you look at oil, the first time God used it is in Genesis chapter 28, verse 18. Jacob is fleeing. He's messed up. He went according to the flesh. He tried to secure something that God was going to give him anyway, and he tricked his brother. He's on the run. Sun sets, he ends up in the place, and he pillows his head. The name of the place is Luz, L-U-Z. It's a place of separation. But God met him that night. And the next morning, after God has spoken to him, he gets up and he anoints the stone that he had laid his head, type of Christ, and he anoints it with oil, anointing oil. First time it's used in the Word of God. The second time it's used in the Word of God is also when he comes back to that place. And he changed the name of that place from Separation Luz to Bethel, House of God. And then he spends several years away, but he comes back to Bethel, and again, oil is used. So I know of a surety that this pot of oil is a small cruse of oil. I don't know exactly what it looked like, but it was anointing oil. It's a little bottle of anointing oil. Don't know what kind of bottles they had in those days, but the scripture says it was a small cruse of oil. What do you have with a woman in the house to pay your debts? The only thing I have, or else the bondsman will take my children, there's one thing I've got. It's a valuable thing, although it's small, a cruse of oil, anointing oil. But now, the good news is, you just take what you got and follow the Word of God. And the God of a word will do the rest. And she has faith to believe. Hey, I have faith to believe that God has prescribed and given me his word and that he has everything in the storehouse that I need for my life to get me through here, to keep me and my children out of the snares of Satan. I know the word of God. Three times in the scripture, he says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And if we know his devices, then we know how to win victory over the snares of Satan, the pot of substance. But let's look at the potential of the sons. They're obedient children. The man of God says, you go out in the neighborhood in the countryside and borrow vessels. Now, there's some stipulation upon those vessels. And we are vessels made for the master's use. But there's some stipulations whether or not we're going to be useful for the kingdom of God. They have to be empty vessels. You have to empty yourself. No wonder Jesus said that the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How you become poor in spirit? Hey, we were born in this world shaping iniquity full of sin. But to get to God, he first comes to us and convicts us of our sins and shows us that we need a Savior. And you can't get there by works. You can't get there by anything that you own or have. You have large bank accounts, won't do you any good. You have houses, land, won't get you there. You have to become poor in spirit. That means we empty ourselves of everything else and every desire in this world, and we only desire him. Go out, two boys in the neighborhood, and borrow vessels. They start bringing them in. Don't know how big they were. I know how small the cruse of oil is, a small pot of oil, just a little anointing oil. But there's no limit on how many they can bring in. You know, you can't limit God. God has given every one of us a vessel that's supposed to be made for the master use, and only God knows what the potential is of every one of us. You have children, you don't know the potential, but God does. We make sure that we teach them the word of God that, hey, if God's going to fill you with himself and his spirit, you have to do some emptying. So you bring the vessels, sons, obedient sons they were. They did not know, and she did not know the potential of those two boys, the ability to go out and serve God and bring in vessels. But here they come one by one. Finally, there were some further instructions. Elisha, of course, if God had chose to, could have went into the household, took that little cruse of oil, spoke the words, and the oil would have been multiplied with him standing there. God chose not to do that. There's a reason, no doubt. God gave you, he gave me the ability to serve him, to listen to his word. God wants to use you. He wants to multiply your life and your children. So you don't need the world, you don't need television, you don't need books, you don't need anything. You've got his word. That's sufficient. I don't read a lot of commentaries. You probably could tell it by the way I preach. I don't need to. I have the word and I have him to guide me. And when he shows me something, I don't forget it. If I were to read what some other person said, I'd probably forget 90% of it just like you would. We're forgetful. We can't retain more than 5 to 10 to 12% of that which we hear, that which we see. But when God shows you something, you won't forget it. Not ever. So Elisha says, you do it, lady. You go out and use your sons to bring in the vessels. And then I have given you something. You have a pot of oil, type, of course, of the Holy Ghost, a type of the anointing oil, while God wants to anoint your lives. If you have an empty vessel, which is what he has given us, we're vessels for him. And then he says, shut the door. Get the world out. Get your thoughts out. Get what other people think out. This is between your faith that I have given you. Believe in what I have said. We have the blessed word of God. Every dot, every tittle will be fulfilled. It's without error. It is ordained of God. And we have his word. Don't need anything else. Shut the door on society. Shut the door on what others think or what even you may think. God has given you faith to believe that if you trust him, mothers, and if you trust him, fathers, that he will supply you with enough to get your children filled with the things of God so they can have their full potential in this world. It's up to you, Mom. It was up to this lady. Shut the door. Oh, Elisha was a man of God. He could have stood there and praying for him. He might have been praying for her, but not in the household. Because God lets us know that in the quietness of the hour, it's just you and God. It's all it needs to be. If you have him, you need no other. You have gotten those two sons that God gave you, and you've got a little cruse, a little pot of substance, a pot of oil. Use what you've got. God always supplies that which we need. And so she had the sons bring a vessel. Can you imagine if she's pouring this little cruse of oil, just a small cruse, into a larger pot? Don't know how big the pots were. No doubt those boys got the biggest ones they could get and carry. And it no doubt took a long time. And as she was pouring out from a little bottle into a large vessel, there was just as much in there as there was when she started, yet the vessel was full. When God multiplies, and you know what the end result was? The same type of oil that was in the pot. The same that was in the vessel was what was in the pot. God uses you. He uses me for his glory. And if you'll let him fill you with himself, that's what will come out. Whatever is within you is what's going to come out. If God fills you with the Spirit of God, then when you speak the things of God, he will anoint that. And the words of God will come out. And God says, I'll bless my words. They will not return unto me void. And as she was pouring, bring me another vessel, bring me another vessel. And pretty soon, I can imagine the two sons as their eyes were upon it. Mom, it's an amazing thing. Oh, it's an amazing thing when God anoints your children and you see them used of God and you see God doing for them which nobody else can do, and you give him glory and honor and praise. And what did you have an input in it? You had a past, and you taught them that even in the hard times, we have a God that we can count on. You have a present that nothing overtakes you but what God's aware of. And then, of course, when those situations come, you have the Word of God, you have the things of God, and there is a Word from God that will help you. And then what do you really have? That which is within you, the Spirit of God, the saved soul. That's a real ingredient that we have. The anointing from God is more precious than anything in this world you could ever gain. And then obedience to that precious word. And we see the potential that God starts to say, well, I gave you this, and if you'll let me fill you with myself, look at the things that can be accomplished. What did you start with? Just a little bitty flask of oil. What did you end up with? A whole room full of vessels. Well, we get to the conclusion. Let's look at the payment on the security. Oh, there's a secure note being held somewhere. And the creditor has come and says, you haven't paid the note. Won't give you 30 more days or even another week. The creditor, the scripture says, is come. Present tense. But now she's got all these vessels of oil. And then she says to her sons, yeah, we're on a roll. God is multiplying. Bring me yet another vessel. They're all full, Mom. There is no more empty vessel. What a lesson. God will fill that which is available. And if they're not there, and they're not empty, a lot of you have children today. Some of them are being used of God. Some of them in the future will be used of God. The potential we'll never know. And some of them are not being used of God. But I'll give you this assurance from his word. All those vessels which we are, once they're presented to him, and you shut out the world, and you let the word of God in your heart meditate, and you make yourself available to the things of God, they will be filled. Every one, meet for the master's use. Let's look at the payment on the security. She still owed the debt, and she still had the creditor out there that was coming back shortly to take away the two sons. But now she's got in her possession vessels, many vessels of oil. She goes to the man of God and says, thank God for his word. Thank God for using you. Thank God that it was a faith he gave me to believe. And the multiplication came from him. And the same thing in the pots is what I had to start with. The Spirit of God, salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And God just multiplies the blessings of that in your life as you lead others and you instruct your children. Oh, these boys won't get away from this. When God does something to you, your household, and you shut the world out and just let God in, you'll never forget it. Oh, I remember, and many of you do too, coming up in the old days when God moved in services almost every day, every time. Souls were getting saved and families were living for God. Falling out with sin. You didn't have all the sins of the world. You had some drunks, but they knew they were dying and going to hell. Even the drunks. Today they're alcoholics. But back in those days, they were drunks. But every one of them I knew that they needed to get saved. And many of them had praying mothers, and one by one you'd see them come in. And they'd finally cry out to God and say, I'll quit my sinning if you'll save me. God did and would. Then they taught their children. And God's still in the saving business. He's just looking for people. They're willing to shut the world out. And this modern society in which we live, they toy with sin, they live in sin, and think they can live and do as the world and still serve God. No. You have to love the Lord your God with all your heart. You have to shut out the world. You can't serve two masters. And God says, you love me? Keep my commandments. He said, oh, his commandments are hard. Who are you going to believe? What you think, what I think, what he said? Let's go with what Jesus says. My commandments are not grievous. Good enough for me. If he told me I could keep his commandments and it would produce joy and love and adoration and a zeal for God, and he'd give me the faith to believe and to receive, and then I'll give him glory, no good thing will he withhold for them that love him. And God has given this woman much. What will I do with it? Go sell the oil and pay thy debts and live on the proceeds. Take care of your children. Hey, when God saved us, it wasn't on the installment plan. It was a complete package. Let's go back through the hour he saved me. So many things happened. I didn't understand it then and still don't understand it, but I know by the word of God what happened. I got lost. Number one, 12-year-old boy. God showed me I was lost. And I realized quickly there's nothing I can do, nothing mama can do, nothing daddy can do. I have to empty myself of every desire, every want, everything in this world has to offer. It was just like God gave me a blank sheet of paper, but he told me what to do. There's a place down on the bottom with your signature, son. Sign your name. What's the rest of it? It's your life. I'll fill it in as we go. And you'll be obedient to it. You want to sign the contract? It's not yours anymore. My life is here with Christ and God. And as a 12-year-old boy, I didn't know much. But I did know that I had to surrender myself to him. And what he did with my life was up to him. And I, in my mind, signed the bottom line. I've never been sorry. God saved me, secured me, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. Nothing I've done, it's what he's done. Well, he eradicated, got rid of all my sins, gave me the peace of God, applied the blood to my heart, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, sealed me until the day of the Lord Jesus, and told me that every need I ever had would be met. I could trust him. So he came to live in my heart. And he made good of it. What I did that moment, that day that you and the boys were in that room and I was multiplying the oil, it's enough to get you through this world. You'll have no more debts. I don't have any debts of sin today. All my sins, past, present, future, taken care of. Seal. Security paid. Payment on the security. I'm no more a debtor to sin. He freed me. He loosed the shackles of sin and set me free. And then he's coming back. Oh, thank God, thank God. The creditor is come to every one of us until we get saved. You have children here this morning. Would you stand? Brother Ray, would you come and his wife and sing a song of invitation? Whatever your needs are this morning, God will take care of them. You got children that's in sin? Say, well, I've got 30 days. You may not. The creditor has come. And you don't know when God's going to come and take us home. You don't know if you'll make it home today. But you do have now. Would you be willing just to shut the world out and get along with God? Get old-fashioned altar would be a good place to do it. Trust God for your children. You say, well, they're still little in that home. That's a good time to start. Hers were still at home, but she was going to lose them. And you don't know when Satan's going to penetrate their heart and try to get them to sign his contract. But you've got today. Would you be willing just to come and fall on the altar and say, God, help me? Elisha couldn't do it for her. She had to do it herself. There was a vessel. And God filled it. Sustained her and her children all the way through life. If you're here lost this morning, God would save you. Would you come?
So this part